670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Same brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Much more Steelers Seahawks on the way, but it is the Thursday of Brawl Week, and we are titillated to be joined by the former coach of the Pitt Panthers, now on Fox, Dave Wannstedt. Dave, the coach of December 1st, 2007, as I like to put it, and as you guys all like to put it, 13-9. Good morning to you, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's things in Pittsburgh? What's going on?
We're doing good up here, Coach, and Pat's here as well. We're excited to get this game kicked off on Saturday. Obviously, you know, the backyard brawl. Can you take us through, you know, those final moments of 13-9 back in 2007 and the feelings that were a part of that atmosphere and a part of the team? Just take us through those moments of beating West Virginia, number two team in the country, on that day in 2007.
Yeah, well, you know, Dorn, in fact, you know, obviously playing for me, kind of experienced that having played in this game myself for 4 years when I was at Pitt as a player, and then having coached there with Coach Majors for 2 years, and then 2 years with Coach Sherrill, you know, I obviously was involved in this rivalry, have seen everything, both sides of it, the big comeback when I was a freshman at Pitt, 35-36, and then we've been on the other side too, where my first year we got slaughtered. So what I wanted to try to do, if you remember, I brought back, I was always big into trying to make this rivalry be as real as possible for the players. And by that, I mean, you know, 1 year we put on the 35-36 game, and I had Dave Havern, if you remember, came in and talked to the team about that and showed the old tape from 1970. And then I had, obviously, Matt Cavanaugh. I was fortunate because Matt Cavanaugh had played in that game like I did. And so I was able to bring players back and tell real life stories of their experience and what this game means. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, in today's college football, there's not a lot of games and a lot of situations that unite. Sure, we're all Pitt guys. And obviously you and I got a different relationship because of player coach. But when I'm with, somebody that maybe I didn't coach back in the day, the one thing that we all kind of had in common was that we played West Virginia. And so the backyard brawl was part of who I was as a Pitt player, and maybe Larry Fitzgerald. I never coached Larry. I'll use him as an example. But when Larry and I can get together and we can talk in common ground about West Virginia. So I think this game really carries a little bit extra weight besides being the rivalry and a backyard brawl. There's something about being a Pitt player, and I'm sure being a West Virginia player, that this game, is always going to be part of your legacy there, good, bad, or indifferent at the school. So, you know, when we went down there and played them, obviously we were four touchdown underdog or whatever we were, but we felt like we had a good plan and on offense, and we were going to take the air out of the ball on defense. If our listeners can believe this, Pat Bostic threw for more yards. I love Pat. Pat's like a son, okay? But Pat Bostic threw for more yards in that game than I believe Pat White did. You can look it up. That Pat White was their quarterback. One of the greatest dual threat quarterbacks maybe in college football. I mean, this guy was special. But the plan was, I make that point in jest because, you know, we weren't going to go down there. Pat was a freshman, and we weren't going to air it out. And I remember talking to LeSean McCoy, our running back, and said, you know, get ready. I mean, you want to be fed. Well, you're going to be fed this game, buddy. And I, you know, he came out of the game with a couple broken ribs and, I don't know, close to 40 carries. But It was a brawl. I mean, it was something. And two things that I remember about it. I remember talking to the team, and I was still building. This was our second or third year in the whole building process, and we were trying to turn the thing around and get the people and the philosophies and all that stuff that you do when you take over. So I took all of our freshmen. I mean, the Henry Hanoskis and Miles Kerrigans all the freshmen that were in that class, we took you down there and had you stand on the sidelines. And I said, I want you guys to see what the hell this thing's all about. And we had everybody there on our football program. We took the air out of the ball. And I remember talking to the team saying, guys, we got to win the turnover battle. We got to win the penalty battle. You know, the things that we can control, these are must in a big game like this. A team that has so much more talent, and we're playing on the road and everything involved, and we can't get any penalties. We got to keep our composure. The first play of the game, Jeff Ota, first-round draft pick, big Jeff, our left tackle, he comes off, and I forget their defensive end, but he was a guy who played in the NFL too. He was a great player. And these two guys came off like two battering rams, and they hit each other. You could hear the pop all the way on the sideline. And as soon as the whistle blew, they both started swinging. And I don't know who was standing next to me. It might have been McKillop or somebody. And I turned, I said, and I just shook my head, and he started laughing. And, I mean, but the first play of the game, there were flags flowing. The guys were just wailing on each other. So they didn't listen to me very much. I don't know. It's
Coach, I threw a pick on the first play. Pat Bostic here. I'm glad you didn't say anything too bad about me. I love you too. I threw a pick on that first play, but when you mentioned Shady and rushing 40 times, now you understand why I called a timeout when he couldn't see in the huddle. He had turf pellets in his eye. I call a timeout. I walk over to the sideline, and he's swinging his crutches like he's going to hit me in the head. And I'm like, Coach, our only chance to move the ball, can't see. We've got to call a timeout here. But Coach, I wanted to go back a couple years. Rich Rodriguez.
Pat, stop. Because I want you to know this is Doran. Mark this down. This is how I feel. I did not know Pat was going to be on. But I am looking. I do my homework now. I'm not going to walk in anything blind. So I am sitting here as we're talking, looking at the stats of 13-9, and I'm looking, and I saw those two interceptions, but I was not going to mention them, Pat. If you didn't bring it up, I would have never said a word.
I did throw two picks in that game. But, Coach, 2 years before that, in 2005, Rich Rodriguez was at the height of his powers as the head coach of West Virginia. I want to hear your thoughts on him being back there and your relationship with him. You guys go way back. But you made a comment coming off the field in Morgantown that your guys needed to, quote, run faster, which is a famous line. Just tell us about those West Virginia teams and then contrast it now 18 years later. What do you expect Rich Rod to bring to Morgantown the second time around?
Yeah, that first game was not an eye-opener to me, but it was in a way it was, just because our guys played as hard as they could. And they says, Coach, what's your thoughts? I don't know how they asked the question. And I said, I only got one thought. We got to run faster. We're not that team over there that just beat us runs a lot faster than we do. And we got a lot of work to do as far as recruiting and the type of players we're going to get. And so that was a real key for it. That was what was behind that game. It wasn't that we didn't know their plays or they tricked us on anything or they were more – They were just faster than us on all those option plays and pitches and quarterback reads. Pat Hill and Slayton and those guys, they had a great team. They did. And it's funny. When I left Pitt, I was working for I went to Buffalo and a couple, in the NFL. But then I was with Fox Sports in L.A. I was doing college and NFL stuff in L.A. every week. And one of the big teams we had at that time was the Pac-12. And Arizona was in the Pac-12. Rich Rod was coaching in Arizona. So I actually saw him at several of the media events. And we sat down and had a couple drinks together. And, I think he's a heck of a football coach, okay? Pitt fans may not want to hear that. But he's a very, he's an excellent football coach. I've always thought that. And, you know, so now with 72 new players, you know, that's going to be a turnaround and it's going to take him some time, but, I don't underestimate him, or I would never say that they were not prepared. I mean, you know, we won that game. You know, we blitzed. Paul Rhodes had a great defensive game plan. We blitzed him. I think we only missed 8 tackles the entire game, and we were going one-on-one in the open field, and Shady obviously ran the ball. We ran a fake punt and got him on that. We obviously won the game when we took a safety and ran out of the back of the end zone to let the clock run down. So we did a lot of things special teams-wise, offense-wise, defense-wise to win that game. But, no, he's an excellent coach. They just don't have the players, you know, yet, but they'll get them. I'm sure they will.
Your thoughts on – I got to sneak one Steelers question in. The old man, sure, Aaron Rodgers, sure, the way he played last week, Dave.
Well, if you look at his stats last year you know, I mean, the guy, I think he had 20 touchdowns and 6 interceptions or something last year. I mean, that's a good year under the mess that they had up with the Jets, with the head coach getting fired and the offensive guy, coordinator, I mean, Hackett. I mean, it was a mess, okay? And so, and it was the year coming off of his Achilles, and we all know that. I'm about 10 years off my Achilles, and I'm still limping. But anyway, so it doesn't come back, you know, overnight. So I think he's healthy now. I think he's in a place mentally that he feels good about it. You know, Steelers just got to get their running game going. They cannot rely on Aaron Rodgers to throw 4 touchdown passes every week and win. So if they're going to make a deep run, which I think they will and they can, you know, and Mike knows that, you know, they've got to become more efficient running the ball. And that was unusual for their defense to give up that many points. You know, that doesn't happen. If you said Aaron Rodgers is going to throw 4 touchdown passes against the Steelers, you know, you say, oh God, how many points did they win by? You wouldn't think that it would come down to that, because you just count on their defense being week in and week out so good.
Dave, always great catching up with you. We really appreciate you jumping on with us this week.
Doran, you snuck Pat in here. I did not know that.
Hey, okay? I mentioned it right before I gave right off the bat there. So
always great talking to you, Coach. You're the best.
All right, guys, go get them. Beat West Virginia, man. Let's go. Get this thing going. 3:00, I'll be watching.
Sounds right, good. Thanks, Coach.
See ya.
That was gold.
Pat,
yeah,
Pat, I did not yell you were on.
Pat! Oh, Pat!
How about when he goes, Pat, stop!
Stop!
I'm glad you didn't say anything too bad about me. I love you too. I threw a pick on that first play, but.
Oh, that's gold right there.
He's the best.
That is good stuff. All right, we'll break down some of what Dave had to say when we come back, including him saying he thinks the Steelers can and will make a run with Aaron Rodgers. Also, everyone's talking about benching Broderick Jones. I had another benching candidate. How about that?
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make, yes, a difference, that can, yes, get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mully and Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Coach, I threw a pick on the first play. I'm glad you didn't say anything too bad about me.
You're laughing in the background.
And I know I have an obnoxious laugh. I was trying to stay as far from the mic as I could.
Now, full disclosure, I went to practice yesterday, and there's more about that I want to get into. I went to practice yesterday, and I guess dude was all excited. He's like, oh, you played your touchdown or whatever, and he's like, and I showed your stat line. I'm like, great, thanks. And he's like, the point was, it doesn't matter what it looks like. You got to win.
W.
Get a W. And I went up to Eli, and I'm like, hey, think of my stat line. He's like, phew. I was like, 1-0.
Yep.
That's all that matters.
Yep.
It really is. I know college football style points, make the playoff, and more in the BCS era, I guess, because now 12 teams get in. But it never matters in a rivalry game. Doesn't matter if it's 2-0.
No, I will tell you this, though. After that touchdown, I would have gotten pulled out of the game by a medical person in the booth. I was not on this plan.
Weren't you bleeding from the ears?
Yes, that is true.
Both?
One.
That's good.
But I was not on this planet after that touchdown.
Mm.
I was...
That picture that's out there of you just like looking up, you look like you're not from this
planet. My body was there. My soul was elsewhere.
Do you remember the game?
I remember... Yeah, and I remember...
Like after that?
Yes.
Okay.
So I didn't like black out, but for like 30 seconds, It was weird, man. I remember it vividly. Like, I'm looking at a red dot on this thing right now, on this camera. There were 3 stars. I remember seeing it vividly. And then I, like, woke up, and I was on my back in the end zone.
Man.
And Daryl Strong goes to me. He looks down at me, and he goes, "You scored." And I'm like, and I looked down, and I saw that, you know, there was green, and then there was blue or yellow, whatever it was, and I was in the yellow. I was in the end zone on my back with my helmet off.
Jeez.
Man.
And you can see like some of the still frames. I think Lazier, the linebacker, literally his fist is right on my chin.
That's a brawl.
Oh, it's awesome. But yeah, I remember things after that. So it wasn't.
That's good.
It wasn't all for naught.
I worry about your long-term health. Yeah.
Oh, I
care about you.
There's plenty of issues I have to deal with. That's just merely one of them.
You have an anecdote that we want to get into. Jeff Hathorn's going to join us coming up in 8 minutes, but I do want to pay off the tease. Everyone's talking about benching Broderick Jones, and I've said bye week, if he hasn't turned it around, you bench Broderick Jones because you got, what, Myles Garrett, then Trey Hendrickson, then Micah Parsons coming down the pike. If he ain't figured it out by then, he ain't figuring it out in those 3 weeks. Not enough people are talking about Peyton Wilson, Patrick Queen, and how they didn't play well. And I thought Patrick Queen was underwhelming last season. I thought Peyton Wilson was an arrow pointed up kind of guy. If one or both of them struggles again against the Jets, I want to see Cole Holcomb. Cole Holcomb did not play a single snap in the game. Not one. And I know they love their linebackers. And I love their linebacker depth, but linebacker depth ain't worth nothing if you ain't going to be willing to play a guy. I thought Holcomb looked really good in the preseason. And he's a good football player. The only reason I thought he might not look good is if he lost a step. He clearly hadn't. So if they're going to struggle getting off blocks, that dude's a professional. I'd like to see more of him. That's all.
Yeah, I think they really miss Landon Roberts, too, in the run department. I mean, their run defense has been a problem now for 2 games in a row dating back to last season.
Yep.
You know, you're giving up an average of over 200 yards a game in your last 2 competitive games that count. And I think that... Queen and Wilson are built for a different brand of football. And make no mistake, Seattle's going to run that thing with Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet. Like, they're going to run it, and they're going to try to slow the game down and churn you. I don't feel real good about them fitting and being forceful at the point of attack and making plays in the run game. It just hasn't been good enough.
I actually think Seattle's a really tough matchup.
I think so too.
Very different too.
You got Smith and Jigba out. Like they're good. And then defensively, you know, they're talented. So it's the run defense to me. You know, and someone commented because I said on X, I'm like, the run defense of these linebackers has been very underwhelming. And it's like, well, they're getting blocked, and I'm like, well, don't get blocked. You know, like you've got YA Black and you got Cam Hayward in there, like they're gonna occupy people. They're playing a number of different fronts. Like, get under blocks, you've got speed, make plays. And it just looks like they're just running to contact.
I think that they're very hesitant because of the Justin Fields factor, but that's no excuse because you're gonna have to play Lamar Jackson. And it's gonna be that much better whenever you do face that.
You realize how much faster Lamar Jackson is than Justin Fields?
Yeah, exactly. And how much bigger and more dominant Derrick Henry is than Breece Hall. Like, it's not going to – that's not an excuse, but I do feel like that is what played a factor into how the linebackers played, because they were so hesitant of, all right, like, is he going to keep – okay, then you're already done. You're already swallowed up in the blocks. This week may be a little bit different because you don't have that threat at quarterback as much with Sam Darnold.
I just want to see him play downhill and aggressive.
Yep.
You know, that's what you got with Roberts, right? He would just blow stuff up. And it seems like they're catching and playing more passive, which is not Steeler defense. You know? I mean, but that being said, I mean, there is a point to be made about the interior D-line. And they don't have Harmon. You know, Benton's been a disappointment. Hayward barely practiced. They weren't getting a lot of production from that group either in the game. So certainly a lot of work to do for both, that kind of front seven. That front seven as a whole was disappointing.
It should be one of, if not the best front sevens in the entire NFL.
They're paid to be.
And they were horrendous on Sunday. That and more with our sports director, Jeff Hathorn, coming up next. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Our sports director, Jeff Hathorn, joins us now on a Football Thursday. Good morning to you, Jeff. How are you doing today?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We are Peachy.
The Hawk.
Caw! Harry's was better. And Doran hates it. Jeff, we've been asking a lot of people this question since the Steelers beat the Jets on Sunday. They got dominated in a ton of facets of the game. They got dominated on the stat sheet, but were able to win the game. Do you feel better or worse about the Steelers now than you did before the game?
Well, I always feel better after a win. I mean, you got to take that into account. Like, hey, they got the win. So they found a way to win. I feel great about their quarterback play. If they would have had anybody but Ben over the last however many years, they don't win that game. Aaron Rodgers got them to a win in that game. Now, seeing the same issue on defense, that was disturbing. Seeing some issues at left tackle and not getting the running game going, that was disturbing as well. And we'll see into week two. I mean, they say week one to week two adjustments are the biggest. We'll see how those adjustments play out against Seattle.
Jeff, is Tyreek Hill to the Steelers a real possibility?
I don't think. I mean, and look at the issues that the Steelers have. Their number two receiver had four catches for 70 yards and a touchdown. Not saying that he's better than Tyreek Hill, but I'm saying if you're looking at areas where you can improve, number two receiver may be more of a luxury compared to other areas where you might need to bring in some different bodies if things don't change.
Jeff, do you have concerns about Roman Wilson and his inclusion in the offense, only a few snaps in the game?
I don't, only because I thought Calvin Austin played really well, and Skowronek in his spurts, not just the touchdown, but his blocking. And I think, you know, he's going to find his way in there. When he gets his opportunity, he better take advantage of it, because Calvin took advantage of his, Skowronek took advantage of his. So I don't know it's as much like a punishment or he doesn't figure it out. I think the other guys are playing well. And when you have a group of receivers or you're not sure who the number two is, you're going to ride a hot hand or a guy that's prepared the best. And it was Calvin and Ben in that New York game.
Jeff, I thought you said it well whenever I asked if you feel better or worse about the team, talking about that run defense. And it'd be one thing if this was a blip and you could say, okay, they're highly paid and it's an anomaly, but it looked like a continuation of the Ravens game. And as good as Breece Hall and Justin Fields are and were in that game, they ain't Lamar and Derrick Henry. So do you have more faith in the defense figuring it out or the offensive line?
Man, they've got so much money on the defense. You're going to get Derek Harmon in at some point on that defensive line. I got to believe the defense is going to figure it out. Not that I'm completely against the offensive line, but I guess I would, because you're going to get Harmon into that mix, I think I would say defense.
Jeff, Backyard Brawl, Saturday, 3:30. How do you see this game unfolding?
Man, West Virginia then has injuries on top of everything else. I mean, listen, you never know in this game. We all know that. But West Virginia would have to show something that they have not shown this year, and losing their running back and receiver. I see this as a game where Pitt just grinds to a win, probably gets out, grinds it through. I mean, I just think Pitt is a more talented team than West Virginia at this point.
Speaking of talented teams, rough start for Pitt volleyball, Jeff, but dominant win last night. I know you covered that team pretty closely.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, the concerns, you know, over a team that's been in the Final Four 4 straight years, after you go to number one Nebraska and lose, then you face a top 15 team in Florida and just don't finish. I mean, you had leads late in sets, and now they're just, I mean, they have a 17-year-old that's in the mix. I mean, and she's that good to play at that level. I mean, and they still have the best player in the nation. So, yeah, they're just, it's so much fun to watch. Seriously, if you haven't checked it out and you're thinking, it's quick, it's fast, it's athletic, like it's, and they're awesome.
Jeff, Pat Brisson with some comments to Pierre LeBrun that have people wondering about Sidney Crosby's future. How did those comments land on you?
That it's not 100% that Sid's going to be a Penguin his entire career. I mean, that you, as an agent, you don't rogue say that. That doesn't happen. Now, is every word given to you by Sid? No, but there's an idea or there's a mindset. And I think that's something to the team of like, hey, don't completely blow this thing up. Like, don't go trading everybody or we're going to be looking to get out. Sid doesn't want to finish on a 25-win team. And I think that was the message that was being sent there. I still think the probability is that he finishes his career in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. but now no longer is it a certainty. And I get it. I mean, listen to Tyler Kennedy yesterday talking about it, and Tyler's pretty close to Sid. It's like, okay, like Tyler's into this too, like this being a possibility, and Sid doesn't want to play for a, it's one thing to play for a team that has a losing record where you're building something and you're part of that. It's another thing to just have a team that's just blown up and has no chance with random prospects here and there, and you're playing out the string. And that's what Sid doesn't want.
Definitely. And I think that's well said by you whenever you hear it from TK. And because of what Brisson said, it makes me go back retroactively and start paying a little closer attention to the Bissonettes of the world and guys that we know have had conversations with Sid that we sort of dismissed as hot takery.
And guys, we probably don't want to hear this, but if Montreal is desperate for Sid, you might get a package in return that could set you up for a next run. I mean, I don't want it. It's not ideal. But if you could get like a Herschel Walker trade for Sid or something like that, I mean, you've got to consider it if you're the Penguins.
Wow. I totally agree with that, and it hurts me to say it, and I have tears in my eyes. Thank you, Jeff. That might be just thinking about the Backyard Brawl on Saturday. Appreciate the time, as always.
I'll see you guys down there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was agreeing wholeheartedly that I will, in fact, see him down there. Are you going to stop by the tailgate?
Yeah, it depends.
Maybe have some meat?
Maybe.
I know you won't have a cold pop because you
work.
You're a professional.
You gonna have any dip?
Oh yeah, dude. You can pick it up at a grocery store near you. Perhaps a Kroger in Morgantown.
They have a Kroger in Morgantown?
They're all Krogered out.
Are they?
Oh yeah. Big Kroger town. Morgantown.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, Pat has a good story from practice yesterday.
Great story.
And he'll tell it and we will laugh. Look at Tyler Kennedy out there.
Hey boys.
TK out in the vestibule.
Hey, listen, I heard you guys got this brawl thing going on. Like, honestly.
Do you take the gloves off?
Yeah, do you guys take the gloves off? Like, you give them the stinky hand? You know? Boys, like, listen, I know brawls. You know, West Virginia?
He'd be so bummed to see that there's, dozens of people getting punched in the face on the field on Saturday. Oh, this is a rivalry? I don't know, boys. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. You had a story from practice yesterday, Pat. You wanted to get
out there. I was out watching practicing. Pitt's a morning practice team. They have media just following. The Steelers walk through it in the late morning. And I go out to practice, and they're playing Country Roads. They're playing ESP. Right, they have that actually like an AI chant, or maybe it's an actual chant.
Eat excrement, that's the one.
You know, expletive pit. And they're blasting crowd noise. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking over, I see Jalen Ramsey, I see TJ Watt, I see Aaron Rodgers down on the far practice field going through a walkthrough, Artie Smith dialing it up. And I'm thinking to myself, and I go over to, who did I go over to? Maybe Crystal Salah. And I was like, I think Aaron Rodgers is thinking right now. You got like, they got all that stuff going on. And he's over there trying to, you know, it's third and four and the Seahawks are in a bear front. And he's trying to figure out, like, I mean, crowd noise for a walkthrough is a big deal.
You said it was loud, too. You could probably hear it down Archie's.
Yeah, like, it was like, I needed, like, earmuffs. It was so loud. And I was just like, you know, It's kind of cool. And you got Beanie Bishop over there. You got Zach Frazier over there. They're hearing it. But, you know, nowhere in the country do you have the NFL team and a Division I team practicing on the same grass surface.
Unreal.
And you've got this, like, rivalry game going on. And pros just down the way a little bit trying to walk through. It was just an interesting juxtaposition.
Yes.
Only in Pittsburgh, baby.
I've been saying this. If this game goes the way the prognosticators are saying, and you got Rich Rod, and the way it went last week, I'm telling you, I am fascinated by the crowd dynamic in this game. Obviously, it'll come out and bleep Pitt, blah 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 blah. If it's like 14-0 Pitt after the first quarter or something like that, you are gonna hear some stuff.
You think they'll boo him?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Well,
I'm interested.
What do you think the divide was amongst Mountaineer faithful approving his rehire versus disapproving?
85-15 approve.
Okay.
It's a loud 15.
But it's a loud 15.
It's a loud 15.
That's waiting for the bubble to burst.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those people weren't quiet last week. Understandable. Pat, this was fun.
It always is fun.
Would you like to caw into the microphone?
No, I'm glad the coach wants that. Knows I'm here.
I should play that one more time before we.
Coach, yeah, I threw a pick on the first play. I threw a pick.
Pat,
yeah,
Pat,
I threw.
I know you wrong.
Oh, I threw a pick. I'm glad you didn't say anything too bad about me.
Oh, Pat. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, a high 80, low 53, clear skies for the brawl. High 78, clear skies. Goodbye.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.